This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
You're listening to First Time Dads!
With me, Richard Innes.
And me, Steve Meyer.
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
And potentially, farewell, everybody.
Let's not start on too big a downer, Richard, because people just stop listening.
Yeah. Well, yes, we have some news.
We have
rather
some news.
Seismic news.
I am moving to New York.
Yeah, man.
In America. New York.
York City, the Big Apple.
My very clever wife has got herself a job in New York, and, you know, modern forward-thinking father that I am, and being a supportive partner and going to be taking on full-time childcare, initially, at least, in Manhattan.
It was what you were destined to do. House husband in Manhattan, I can see it.
I feel my work here is done.
Yeah, it's the role you were born to play, husband in Manhattan.
I feel my work here is done, and I'm aware that the United States fall below the UK in the Parental Rights League. So I figured, for fathers that is, I figured I'll let me take the fight to Trump.
Mm. Yeah, well, indeed, I do like the idea that you are going to single-handedly transform the nature of parental leave in the States. It's a big task.
Not just parental leave, Rich. Don't put me in a corner.
The perception of paternity, essentially. The perception of men, fatherhood, parenting, the whole full nine yards.
One Instagram post at a time.
if there was a man to do it, then you are the man, Steve.
It means that we might struggle. We've decided that we're going to struggle a little bit to keep the podcast going. So we're not quite sure what's going to happen at the moment.
Yeah, we're not going to make any official pronouncements just at this stage. But, doing the podcast on my own, that's, I don't know. You know, do we do it with Steve across the Atlantic? It's all still up for grabs, but there is a very real possibility that this might be the end of the podcast. We're not sure yet.
It's a bit like when Chaz or Dave died. The Chaz or Dave can't carry on without Chaz or Dave.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've never heard us compared to Chaz and Dave before, but there we are. I mean, I'm pretty sure I know which one I am. I'm the slightly larger chap.
Yeah.
Is that Chaz? Dave was the skinny one, wasn't he? Probably you. Yeah. I think that's right. Anyway, Chaz and Dave. How did we get onto Chaz and Dave? That does mean that there may be, this may be our last ever episode.
It might be. But let's not dwell negatively on that, because we've had...
Celebrate the marvellousness of what we've been on. Yeah, no, it has been good, hasn't it? We've done a hell of a lot of good stuff.
Rich, did you know this is episode number 70?
I did not, actually. There you go, 70 episodes. Blimey. That's a nice round number. That's a lot of content. I mean, it's worth saying as well that I'm sure many of you who are listening have been with us all the way through. There'll be many who haven't been. And it's very much worth, you know, revisiting a lot of the old stuff. Because, you know, the nature of the content we've been creating here, it's not time sensitive. You know, the idea is that this is stuff that should be relevant and able to help anyone at any point, really, hopefully.
I would like to put us in the sort of category of, like, you know, Cold Feet, Friends, Star Wars. You know, there might be a bit of a gap before the team comes back together.
Yeah, Cold Feet and Star Wars. I see what you mean. Right, that there might be a gap we may revisit. Yes.
Yeah, we might come back and be first time dads of teenagers.
Jesus, there's a thought. Yeah, that doesn't even bear thinking about. I'm having all sorts of nightmares with my son at the moment, and people keep refer my eldest. That is, and people keep referring to the fact. Well, wait until he's 14. It's like, are you seriously telling me 14-year-olds are worse than 2-year-olds? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I suppose it depends on whether or not you've got a 14-year-old or a 2-year-old in your house.
So, yeah, we might come back, we might not. We'll see how it goes. At the moment, I'm just focusing entirely on moving.
On the big move. Before we move on to Steve's move, it is worth saying, actually, that given that we're unsure what the future holds for the podcast at this point, if you are somebody, one of our very loyal and lovely subscribers and regular listeners, and you would like to know more, and you'd like to sort of be signed up, we don't necessarily have a newsletter as such to put out, but if you want to be kept in touch with what's coming up, Please do drop us a line with your email address. It's firsttimedads@reachplc.com.
Do it right now as it's in your head. firsttimedads@reachplc.com. And of course, if you want to look at some pictures of my kids playing in Central Park, then you can follow me on Instagram, which is Steve Mile Eats HQ, or on Twitter, which is just plain old Steve Mile Eats, which is STEVEMYALLEATS.
There you go.
There you go. But yeah, exciting times, exciting. It's going to be cold in New York, Rich, I believe.
I always have the impression that it's permanently snowing in New York. I don't really know much about New York, if I'm honest. Do you know much about New York before now? How are you feeling about it?
I've been to New York about 15 years ago. So I imagine things like the Empire State Building and Central Park will still be there. But
One would assume they'll all
have a different set of... I'll be looking through a different filter, if you like.
Yeah.
A filter of no longer bar hopping in Greenwich Village. A filter of thinking, does the Hoop app work in Manhattan? and where is the cheapest nursery I can find for my kids to go into?
Because that's the thing, I suppose. If you're going abroad, it's so different. It goes without saying, it's different living abroad to going on holiday abroad. But when you're somewhere for 2 weeks, you have a very kind of set, okay, what are we going to do day to day?
Yeah, and you're thinking about leaving almost as soon as you arrive.
Yeah, so when you know you're going there, permanently, really, how do you approach, what's the mindset in terms of what are the priorities, you know, in terms of family stuff?
This is one of the few occasions that I've booked a one-way ticket.
That's weird in itself, isn't it? That's quite an odd thing to do. I don't think I've ever done that. Why would you?
With being a journalist, doing foreign assignments when you don't know where you're coming back from or when you're coming back, but this is a slightly different thing.
Because you're buying a one-way ticket for your son, for your daughter, for your wife. It's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really odd. Because I've often thought about, you know, and I'm sure many of our listeners would have kind of, you know, over a drink or over a meal or something, you know, it's the type of thing you talk about with your partner, that when the kids are in bed and you're on holiday and you're like, God, wouldn't it be nice to live abroad at some point? And it's the type of thing most people sort of, you know, back and forth while sitting on, you know, in a holiday resort at some point, but you never actually really do it because the logistics of it to me seem like an absolute nightmare. Like what were the first priorities for you in terms of the kids?
I guess first of all, it just occurs to me that we may have a listener in New York, and if you do, then please give me a shout. Because,
Steve needs some friends.
Get some tips and friends.
Well, he also needs a mate.
Yeah,
he needs somebody to talk to.
The second thing is that conversation around the pool, I think, is it's when you're going somewhere to work. You're going somewhere to work,
yeah.
So it's not like going on holiday. This is slightly different in the sense that I'm leaving the Mirror, without an obvious job to go to because it's my wife's job that we're moving with. So I am going to be in a different headspace entirely. I'm not going into like a 9 to 5. I'm going to have to find my own routine. So that's a little bit.
So regardless of geography, that in itself is a big shift.
Yeah.
In
so
life,
I look after
it?
The kids one day a week now. I'll be looking at least initially 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Until we get some childcare.
So even if you weren't leaving London, that in itself is a big thing to get your head around.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
The things that so we've had to ship a load of our stuff. So a van came this week and took away 600 cubic feet of our stuff. we seem to still have quite a lot left behind.
Because most of your life is on a boat across the Atlantic?
Well, a selective portion of our life is. The stuff that we thought is going to be useful over there. And we're leaving, we've let our house out in London, and we're leaving stuff behind, like books, because we're not going to have a place as big as our place in London. Not that we've got a massive palatial mansion, but just by the nature of living in Manhattan, places are smaller and much more expensive. And we didn't want to get a load of stuff over there and not be able to fit it in the apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've only taken one so far, not two. And, you know, we've taken two beds, not three. And the kids' cots have gone. So Jackson's currently sleeping on an inflatable double mattress.
But he loves that.
And Iris is sleeping in a travel cot. And Zoe and I are sleeping in like a double bed as opposed to a super king size bed. So we're obviously kicking each other a lot.
And it's the type of stuff you never consider.
No, and I keep going to put things in the bin in the kitchen and realizing there's no bin there.
Because you've already shipped the bin.
Because we've shipped the bin. Because we didn't want to spend a load of money. Things like washing baskets. you know, yeah. For dirty yeah, laundry yeah. we've shipped. And I joked with a friend that did this the other, he's moved there earlier this year. And said, why are you taking your plastic washing baskets? He said, because they're like $15 each.
Yeah.
And you want to spend $15 on a plastic wash basket? And I was like, that's okay. So you can just go on a, go on a ship it over. Some of the kids' clothes are gone. I was like, do I need to take any suits with me? I suppose I ought to take a couple.
You never know.
Just stuff like that.
All the little things you never consider.
Jackson keeps asking where his blocks are. I'm like, they're on a ship, Jackson. Where's my bike? It's on a ship, Jackson. And we've been talking to him about it. He learned about it the weekend just gone.
See, this is the interesting bit for me. How do you explain to a three-year-old? Because does he even know sort of the concept of a different country? Do you know what I mean?
He's been to France. He knows about France.
He understands that you go to a different country to go on holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you explain to him where he's going?
It's a bit like him saying everything that happened in the past is yesterday.
Yeah. Ben does that.
Every meal is dinner.
Yeah. Ben does this thing. Last time ago. That's what he talks about. So he says, you know, remember, Daddy, last time ago, and that just means something that happened in the past.
Yeah. So Jackson knows there's other countries, but he's got no idea of that distance.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So he has got a globe, and we have got an atlas, and I've showed him. I've tried to explain in time.
Yeah.
You know how long it took to get to Grandma's house in France? Well, the same amount of time we have to do that, but a lot more.
Yeah.
And when we go on the plane, we'll get on the plane, and you'll have your breakfast, then you'll have your lunch, and then you'll have your dinner. And the whole day goes by before we get off the plane because it's like 7.5 hours. Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, it's that sort of, they do on planes, give you those three meals, don't they? So I've done that. And we have, the stuff I've read in advance of telling him was not to make it such a big deal, to try and not go, wow, Jackson, we're moving to New York. Just say, we're going to live in another place, Jackson. You know, it's going to not be in our house. But, and this is quite sweet. We said to him, we're going to live in another place. We're going to take your toys, take your beds. And his words were, is Grandma coming?
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So we said, she's not coming, but she's going to come and visit like she does now. And he said, where's Grandma's bed? And I said, she's gone on the ship, so she's got somewhere to sleep when she comes. And he seemed much more reassured by that.
Because I suppose you don't know the bits that go, that's the point, I suppose. Toddlers are, you know, I get it with Ben as well. They come out with the weirdest stuff and they have the concerns about stuff that you would never have considered concerning.
Mm.
And that's the point, I suppose, until you put a kid in one of these situations, you can't predict what are going to be the things that are going to make him anxious or the things that are going to bother him.
So as far as he's concerned, New York is a place, and apologies to any New Yorkers who are listening, New York is a place that has a park which has a zoo in it.
nice.
Or has a museum devoted to dinosaurs.
Nice.
And there are cafes on every corner where you have pancakes.
I can see how you've painted this picture, why you've painted this picture for him, because he probably can't wait to get there.
And all the taxis are painted yellow.
Yeah.
Why are they painted yellow? So you don't get them confused with other cars, Jackson. Okay, right, yeah. And instead of living in houses, you live in tall buildings called skyscrapers.
Nice.
So we'll live it. And he said, like a flat. And I was like, yeah, like a flat. Although they call them apartments in New York.
Yeah, because you're going to have to teach him a whole new language, aren't you? Like sidewalk.
Yeah, exactly. Sidewalk, sneakers, diapers.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah. Diapers, yeah, right. Sneakers. Oh, God, yeah, all that stuff.
Soda. I've been talking to him about, he's going to do some, what they call, T-ball over there.
So, oh, is that like little mini baseball?
It's mini baseball, but instead of throwing the ball and hitting it in air, they put it on sort of like a little tee.
Right.
And you hit it. And then you have to run around.
Yeah.
So he's going to do that. And he said, Iris can be the person that gets the ball and I'll be the hitter. I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, I suppose they may, at that age, it's probably the right age to do it, isn't it?
Well, that's like, part of the thing in mind before he goes to school.
Yeah, because if he was 6 or 7, then he's much more set in his ways. At the age, what is he, 3.5?
He's 3.5. He's going to be 4 in March.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. It seems like a really good, because you'll probably find, you know, within a couple of weeks, he'll be happy as Larry. Yeah. I'm sure there'll be a bump in the road, right? He's going to find it a bit overwhelming.
Of course.
Initially. But that's
there's natural, bumps in the road, which is I won't put my socks on.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Which
exactly.
happen wherever you are in the world, or as in the case this morning, I want to wear my socks on my hands. and that's what he wanted to do. But that's going to happen anywhere. I mean, what is going to be good from my point of view, I think, is that certainly the apartment that we're going to start with is literally over the road from Central Park.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to get them out.
He's going to get his
scooter out. We're going to get over the other side of the road, get into the park and just get going and get, you know, some movement.
Yeah, it makes
going.
Sense.
Because in London, we can do that on the pavement and you can do that on the patio. But we just have to walk a little bit to go to a park.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really good. And we're going to get just get used to the different, different way.
But it's interesting what you say about the things that bother them. You know what I mean? Like the idea that, you know, for us, like the idea of moving across the world to an entirely different country, that's a huge deal. But for a toddler, like you said, it could just be, well, I want to put my socks on my hands. That can be the biggest problem that day.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, and I'm saying this in the context of this potentially being our last ever episode, that, you know, kind of looking back on what I've learned, I think is, and this sort of dawned on me literally in the last couple of days from some of my own idiocy and the fact that I was losing my temper with my son, is that you have to try and put yourself in their shoes to an extent, and you have to kind of try. And what one of the things that has come up consistently through everything we've talked about and all the experts we've spoken with and all those things is that what I do sometimes personally, I don't know about you, Steve, maybe not, but certainly for me, I almost talk to Ben like he's an adult sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And I expect him to understand things on the same level that I do, or I expect him to have the same outlook on things that I do. Well, he's two.
Yeah, you have to ask that question. Do you think you're going to get what you want by crying?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know. I'm just crying.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing I do all the time. And actually, I was thinking about our podcast last night when I was at home, because we're recording this on the Friday. On Wednesday night, I had one of the worst nights I've had with Ben, probably ever. And it wasn't in the middle of the night or anything like that. It was getting him to bed. And I'd had a really bad day at work. I was really tired. I was really stressed out. And I got home and everything escalated very, very quickly. And I completely lost my mind with Ben. Like, I was shouting at him. He was shouting. It was all going off. And I was so angry with him. And it was really... And I think I scared him a little bit by being so angry.
I've shouted at Jackson. And
you know, like, I was looming over him and I was wagging my finger in his face and I was, and it was like really losing it.
Yeah.
And it was all over some trivial nonsense.
Yeah, it always is.
And it was that thing, you know, like, and I'm sure every dad who's listening to this will have done this. You know, like, you're trying to put them to bed and you can see the clock or you can see your watch and you're thinking, I thought I'd be downstairs by now.
Yeah.
And you can see you're nowhere near being downstairs. Yep. And actually, you know, in the end, I mean, I'm downstairs like, what, half an hour later than I might have been.
Yes.
What's half an hour? Do you know, was it really worth me losing my mind, losing my marbles for that half an
hour? That's very good. I'm going to take that away from that.
And actually, last night I went home and had one of the best nights I've had of him in ages, because I stood outside my front door last night before I went in. Not quite, but I actually...
Drinking a bottle of wine.
Yeah, inhaling an entire bottle of wine. No, I was like, I got home and I stopped myself, because sometimes you come home from work and you're, you know, I've been on a commute. So I'm in on that commute, I'm like, you know, that's
Yeah, shoulders out.
Sod everybody, like, boom, 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 you know, and it's like every man for himself and all that stuff. And sometimes I think I come off the bus, walk home, go in the front door, and I'm still in that mindset. So I made a point last night, standing outside my front door, not for long, like, I'm talking about sort of 30 seconds a minute. I sort of closed my eyes and took a few deep breaths. And I just thought, right, you know, go back into dad mode. I'm not into like dickhead commuter here. Yeah. I'm back into dad mode. And I opened the door, and honestly, that like little reset, and I went in, and in my mind, I thought, if things run a bit late, if there's a bit of a kickoff about he doesn't want to put his pajamas on, if he doesn't want to use a potty before he goes, you know, any of those things, it was like, if any of that happens, it doesn't matter. It does not matter, because he doesn't realise why that's a thing. And that just go back to the thing we were talking about. That's the point, I think, is I've got to start thinking and approaching him as being a two-year-old boy, not as being a fellow human being, because they're not. They're just little kids, and they don't understand why.
Maybe we should record like a 1 minute podcast of like mindfulness for dads that you can just listen to on the doorstep.
Although that would be weird listening to myself, but maybe other people would find it helpful. I'm not sure.
Well,
I would stand there and listen.
A version of it for you, and you can record a version for me.
But it's interesting, and it made me think about all the various things we've spoken about over the course of time, the various different parenting strategies, the various different problems. Yeah.
I think there's definitely been some stress introduced into our house because of this move that we haven't quite seen sight of. And I suspect that we will see some more of it when we're in.
It's going to creep up on you, isn't it? That's the nature of it, isn't it?
And kids pick up on stuff. Yeah. You know, Zoe and I bickering over, like, you know, what I'm putting in a box or not putting in a box. And kids realising something's up. And mummy and daddy are at home, not going to work. You're not going to work. Why aren't you going to work?
And that
kind of stuff.
Little red flags in their brains.
And, you know, I've been subconsciously sort of talking about New York to him, but not really. So I've been... Jackson really likes songs that are like loud that you can sing along to, musical type stuff, you know, like musical theatre, that kind of stuff, like, you know, the Grease soundtrack, those sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was playing him the Frank Sinatra song, New York, New York, from On the Town.
Yeah, yeah. We'd classic.
We'd told him that we were going to move to New York. And then in the car on the way back from the farm at the weekend, just piped up in the back, New York, New York, it's a wonderful town. New York, New York, it's a wonderful town. And I looked around as Jackson sat there, just looking out the window, singing that over and over to himself again. I almost thought we should record it. We could have used it on the podcast. But it was like, Zoe like looked at each other and so I was like, shh, just let him sing it. And it was like really sweet. And he's picking up, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
And he got himself in a bit of a tiz this morning because he wanted some toy. And I said it was on the ship. And he's like crying. I don't want it to be on the ship. I want it to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want it to go to New York. We haven't had, I don't want to go to New York yet because it's exciting. And
that will
very,
come. That will. There's inevitably going
to
be that,
yeah,
right?
I've started to talk him through what I would say is going to be the day that we go. Mm. You know, how it's going to work. We're going to get a taxi with all of our bags. We're going to get to the airport. We're going to go into the lounge and see the planes taking off on the runway. Then we're going to go and you're going to sit in a seat next to Iris and... There's going to be a TV in front of you and you can watch your wildlife programs because he started to watch a bit of Attenborough.
Nice.
Because we've decided that would be a good thing to buy us some time on the journey.
Yeah.
And we've limited...
Oh, God, you're going
to
need that.
We limit him 20 minutes at a time, but I'm quite happy for him to watch all of planet Earth and all of the blue planet if it keeps him quiet for 6-7.5 hours. And we're talking about, you know... what he's going to eat on the plane and that kind of stuff. Yeah, and there's going to be a taxi at the other end and he's going to take his little bag with what toys that he wants in it and you can pack that. And we've, you know, I've asked for some advice, which I'll post online, from all the airlines about travelling with kids. And
I'd like to see that, to be honest.
Best time of day to fly. And it seems to be, although Zoe and I have different opinions on this, fly during the day, in the morning. He sleeps at lunchtime now anyway. He'll sleep at lunchtime on the plane because his body clock will make him sleep. He can't be too excited because his body will literally tell him to be asleep, as will Iris. Mm. And then we arrive at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon in the States, long enough time for us to get to our apartment, get the keys, get in, and then it's dinner time and then it's bedtime.
Mm.
And it's on the same... Obviously, he misses 5 hours in the middle of the day somewhere, but he's still on his body clock. And then the next morning when he wakes up early, it's the morning and it's right. Whereas Zoe's like, we'll fly at night because then he'll sleep at night. And I'm like, no, because then we arrive at midnight in America.
All over the place.
And we've got to find the apartment in the dark. And then Jackson and Iris will just be waking up because for them, it'll be something like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
And then we'll be screwed. Yeah. So I think fly during the day.
God, the logistics of all of this is stuff I hadn't thought of.
But it's, you know,
but you're on top of it. It sounds like you're all over it.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've clearly thought about all this.
It's nothing that I haven't thought about, to be honest. Because it's been in the offing for a little while. I've had a time to go through the permutations.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we throw money at the problem as well.
It's the only way to do it, man.
Distraction techniques.
Only way to do it.
You know, we've got some new headphones so you can listen to.
Nice.
All that kind of stuff. Iris will be fine. She's, you know...
Still little enough that it won't...
Still little enough. Still, you know, cow pulse, upper ears popping.
Isn't it funny how we... I notice this when we talk between ourselves. Both of us just talk about our eldest. The littlest never gets a mention. And I have this concern at the moment that, like, Freddie, my youngest, he's now, 4.5 months, he just sits in the corner and he watches and he's very, very happy. He's the happiest baby in the world. It's like, it's lovely. Like, he's always smiling and happy and just watching his brother and watching me and his brother play and stuff. But it is weird, isn't it? And the second one just kind of, the focus, it all has to be on the first one. And it's not out of choice. It's because they're a toddler and toddlers require a lot of attention and focus.
Yeah.
And the baby just kind of comes in second.
But I think the first one does quite a lot of the heavy lifting for number two.
Yes,
it's
definitely.
Like it's like they're cutting through some like jungle thicket and the man up front's got the machete and he's like doing all the hard graft.
Yeah,
and then there's someone just walking through the cleared path.
My mum made this point, because I mentioned this to my mum the other day. She was asking me how the boys were getting on. I said, oh, you know, like, poor old Freddie, he barely gets any attention. She said, yeah, but don't forget, he's getting all the stimulation he needs. When you've got one, you have to give them that stimulation, playing toys, that's showing books, point. All that kind of stuff. She said, he's getting all the stimulation he needs just from watching his brother.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really true, actually. It's really true, because that's what he does. His eyes just follow Ben around the room and he's watching Ben
which
do whatever.
Which will be interesting when we're in the States, because Jackson's got 2 years on Iris of absorbing British culture. Iris will have two, you know, maybe
year
two.
She's going to be a proper Yank, isn't she?
She is. Iris.
She's going to have an American accent.
I was born in London, but I've got an American accent. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
Jackson, I suspect, is going to meet a lot of other Jacksons. I suspect there's a few more Jacksons than there are in the UK. In fact, the only other Jackson that we know, his mum's American. I suspect Iris will be all fine. I think the biggest thing for us will be getting those cracking the sleep as soon as we're there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've got the skills to do that now.
Yeah,
so
you know what
fine.
You're doing. Well, you know what you're doing. Thanks partly to this wonderful podcast we've been doing.
Yeah.
When did we start this? Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, well, it must have been just after the boys were born. So I think, you know.
It must have been. Yeah, because Ben would have been.
They were one.
Ben's a bit more than 2.5 now. So
yeah, it was when I came back to work after doing shared parental leave. So Jackson would have been 1.5. So I suspect it's 2 years.
Yeah. So Ben was about 6 months old. Yeah, that's right. Because, oh crikey, yeah, wow, it's been. Sometimes I do occasionally listen back to some of the old episodes when, particularly like if I just need a bit of advice on something. Sometimes I go back and listen to, not ask. That would be weird if I was listening to myself to get advice for myself. Mm. But more the experts we've had on, the various people who've given us some really good constructive advice and tips and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is weird listening back and you forget things. Like I listened to one the other day. I can't remember when it was. Around the time of Ben's first birthday, I think it was, and like listening to myself talking about what we were dealing with at the time, you just forget.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to listeners, if you think it's useful and you haven't left us a review, and I know how many reviews we've got and I know how many listeners we've got, so I know there's a bit of a gap between people that
there's
listen.
A lot of you that haven't bothered, swines.
That was a good time to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell us it's been useful, and also if you want to leave us a message about the potential end of the podcast, and that's a good place to do it.
Yeah, totally.
In the comment section on iTunes. And also, I know a lot of people continue to share this around between other parents, and we've got people starting to listen right from the very beginning who are wading through the atrocious audio.
that was a big step for us, I think, about halfway through.
Yeah.
Where we got into a better studio and we're talking. We're sitting in our lovely little soundproof studio now. We're talking into our professional mics.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we might have a little chat when I'm over in NYC once things get settled
down. I think it'll be nice to see how things settle down, but, you know, in the meantime.
Talking to you from ice-cold Central Park. Jackson's just fallen off a slide and Iris is, licking a lamppost or something like
nice.
That.
What would you say, here's a broad question, okay. What would you say has been the number one thing you've learned from doing this podcast?
It's good to talk about it. It's good to talk about being a dad.
Yeah.
It is good to talk to another dad and to other people. And you don't know it all. And it's a good learning experience to talk about it and find out, no, you're right, you don't know it all. And no one else knows it all either.
I think I 100% agree with that. 100%. I think there's the thing that still nags away at me every single day is this normal? Am I, you know, are there other dads losing their temper like this? Do other 2 year olds behave like this? Is he where does he fit on the spectrum? How do I fit into the spectrum as a dad? And the only way you can not that you should want answers to all those questions, because some of them aren't particularly healthy questions, but the only way you can get answers to any questions is by talking to other dads. Yeah. And I find it so helps to sit and talk to friends.
I would broaden
or
it just to other parents. You know, it's great to talk to other dads. But I think that if you are a dad and you're able to talk to mums about it, other mums are much better at doing it. Dads, you might struggle initially to find a dad, a stranger, who's going to open up to you about his concerns. Because dads, mentally, I think, are still set up to be quite defensive. And, you know, even some of my friends that I talk to, you know, if you start to throw a question in about their decisions, they can go ultra defensive and shut down. And I think that if you talk to the mums...
I'd agree with you up to a point. I think you're right that you're more likely to be able to have a proper, decent conversation with a mum. I think that's absolutely true. I think, talking specifically from my own personal point of view, if you can find a dad who's happy to have those conversations, because I do think there are specific pressures, concerns, anxieties that only come with being a dad.
Yep.
There are lots and lots that come with being a parent generally, but I think specifically for me, there are things about being a dad that... certainly I never expected. Yeah. Questions I ask myself, concerns I have, anxieties about certain things that I just wouldn't have seen coming before having a kid.
No. I think that's right.
And I think that's why it's been very, very, it's not just enjoyable, but it's been very, very useful for me to be able to sit here with you over the course of this last 70 episodes, whatever it is, and have these conversations. You know, I've joked about it on the podcast. I've joked about it with my family, my friends. This is like free therapy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's quite cathartic to sit here and have this conversation. Yeah, and hopefully that comes across to the people who are listening.
Yeah. And I guess that's one of the things that I'm slightly nervous about, in the sense that when we move, Zoe's going to be going into a job.
Mm.
Where she's going to be surrounded by people all day working. And I know you don't necessarily have your best friends at work, but you do have interaction with other human beings, for better, for worse, all day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be waving goodbye in the morning at 8 o'clock or whatever, and there's going to be me and Jackson and Iris. Yeah. And it's going to be down to me to get out there and get some interactions going. Tough. And it's also going to be down to me to get my own social interactions, not just through children. So whether that's joining a sports club or whatever.
I imagine there's a lot of women listening to this who think, well, welcome to the life of a mother.
Well, that's what someone said to me earlier on.
Yeah, that's what every mum... I mean, I know my wife, Lindsay, has had... I've had those exact conversations with her. Like, she has to... where does she go out to get the adult interaction? Yeah. She needs to... You need to find that social network. And I know that's going to be tough. That is going to be difficult, mate. I don't think there's any two ways about it.
Well,
but I'm sure you're a sociable bloke. You get on with people. I mean, and I'm sure you'll find... a little network of people.
I listen to another podcast called Wheeler Dealer Radio, which is a Tottenham Hotspur podcast.
Which is why I don't bloody listen to it.
But it's presented by 4 or 5 American sports journalists. And they watch Spurs games in Flannery's bar in Greenwich Village.
Oh, well, there you go. That's you're sorted. You're
going to head down there to watch the Sheffield United game. And actually, interestingly, one of the lads that's got a season ticket with me, he's going to be in New York at the same time. So we're both going to go down there.
Oh, what are you going to
wear Spurs t-shirts on.
Subhuman scum who supports Tottenham Hotspur. There you go.
We just whinge about Tottenham, which is, good common ground. As a Chelsea fan, you've been through your whinging periods.
Yeah, but Spurs fans do a special type of whinging. Let's be honest. There's a special type of moaning comes with being a Tottenham fan. It's sort of inherent, I find.
I think this is hilarious. I'm a Chelsea fan.
Hey, I'm not supporting other fellow Chelsea fans. Chelsea fans, by and large, and I say this as a long time Chelsea fan. Chelsea fans are generally quite dreadful. There's a lot of very, very dreadful Chelsea supporters, and I don't think... Anyway, we digress.
We digress. So, we've been going 30 minutes, Rich. I think it's about time that we said goodbye.
Said our farewells, yeah.
Rich and I have got more days at work together.
Another week or so.
Hopefully Rich will buy me a pint before I go. Spectacularly failed to do that last 2 years.
Did I?
I can't remember when you last time bought me a pint.
All right, when did you last buy me a pint?
You've only just got back on the wagon. off the wagon.
Yeah, true.
But
yes, we should definitely be having a few drinks to celebrate Steve's departure. All first-time dads, listeners are welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get in touch with us and you're in London, we might well invite you to have a pint with us before Steve leaves.
A Cosmo, surely.
Yeah, some type of flashy cocktail, because that's what you'll be drinking from now on.
Indeed. Right, okay, thank you. I mean, can I just... take this opportunity to thank everybody who's been listening to the podcast, and especially those people that have reached out to me on Twitter and or left us nice good comments and things like that, and also to the myriad of guests that have given up their time to come and speak to us. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I thought, whoa, Oliver Jeffers, author, lives in Brooklyn. Maybe I'll look him up.
Drop him a line.
He's got a good new book out. Who else? Emily Oster's only up the road in Brown University. There'll be other people, I'm sure. Anyway, thank you very much, everybody. We'll keep you in the loop when we know what's happening next.
Yeah,
but in the meantime, I'm off to try and squeeze a couple of bottles of wine into my suitcase.
Yes, and I'm going to stay here and maintain and do more of the same. I don't have any exciting updates. I'm just going to continue, maintain life in London, and hopefully find a way to talk to you all again soon.
Cheerio.
Thanks, guys. Bye.